Let us gather to hear today's scripture coming from the book of Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh of their strength, whose heart turn away from the Lord. They shall be like the shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like the tree planted by the water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of the drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can trust it? Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruits of their doings. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, that was an amazing piece of passing of the piece, wasn't it? I've never experienced anything quite like that. I'm sure you felt like I did. Or had feelings of just how much we miss each other and how good it is to just see each other, even if it's through Zoom. And it made my heart yearn for the time that we get back in the sanctuary and can be together. This is way better for me. At least I can see some faces. Preaching to an empty sanctuary was not my favorite. I can tell you that right now. So this is good. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us through his word today and the meditations of my heart. God, we thank you so much for this technology that we can be together even though we are separated by distance. We thank you that your Holy Spirit joins our hearts together as we worship you. And God, we are reminded just by seeing each other how tough this time is, how we miss being with one another, how we miss a friend's fellowship. God, all the rest that is going on in our country and our community right now, it is a tough time. And we confess that we need your encouragement. We need your hope. We need your power in our lives. So we pray this morning as we hear from your word and from the meditations of my heart that you will speak a very clear word to us that will encourage us and help us to thrive even in this time of trouble. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You know, for 17 years, my family and I lived in Chico. And most of you probably know Chico is a lovely town, quintessential college town. What you may not know about Chico is it gets hot. And when I say hot, I mean really, really hot. There were weeks, 2 weeks in a row at times, where we would have triple digit temperatures, and not low triple digit, but sometimes reaching temperatures of 115. It's a harsh environment. It's a harsh environment for humans, for animals. But one thing that I especially noticed being kind of an amateur gardener is it is especially harsh for plants. The intense heat and that hot sun just exerts tremendous stress on the plants. The first summer after moving up there from the moderate kind of mild climate of the Bay Area, I found out that if I wasn't intentional about making sure the plants in our yard, in our garden, were receiving enough water, they could die within a few days, especially if they were plants without deep roots. So every morning, I would walk around the yard making sure that the water system was working correctly, that those little emitters were still giving water to the plants. Because water in that kind of environment, in a desert, really, is the difference between life and death. In many ways, the season we are experiencing right now, remind me of those Chico summers. We are living, aren't we, in a season of drought, in a season of tremendous heat and stress. Do you feel it? It is harsh. And it's exerting all kinds of stress on every one of us. And I'm not talking about weather. I am talking about stress caused by intense sociological and cultural, psychological, spiritual, and economical forces. A recent article in the Washington Post revealed that one third of Americans right now are suffering from clinical depression or anxiety. And this figure is even higher among young adults. This reflects a huge jump from just 2014 before the pandemic. They're double compared to a survey taken during that year. And of course, we know all these forces, don't we? These reasons for stress in our lives. David Brooks is a columnist for the New York Times. I'm sure many of you read him. And in an article this last week, he wrote that America is experiencing right now five gigantic changes or crises all at once. The first one is obvious. It's the pandemic, COVID-19. Second, we are having this reckoning about racism in our country. Overdue reckoning, and one that I think we so need, but it is change and it is exerting pressure. Third, we are in a political realignment. Brooks says that Donald Trump's Republican Party is experiencing a really tough time, and his ratings have taken a sudden dive in the last couple of months. Fourth, he cites the social justice movement and how it is challenging many of our cultural institutions. And then fifth, we all know that we are on the verge of a prolonged economic depression. Wow, those are five big changes, five crises that we're going through. Any one of them would be stressful. But you put all five together and you understand why we are feeling the stress, why we are feeling a bit disoriented, dizzy, really, by the change. You know what? He didn't even mention climate change, which could be the biggest and ultimately the most threatening crisis of all. And for some reason, I don't know why, Brooks did not mention First Press. And how in the next month or so, we could be going through a big pastoral change, transition. As we look forward, there is more change ahead. November's election will certainly be one of the most divisive in the history of our country. And all of this puts stress on us and it puts stress on the church. I read this past week that this coming year could be the most divisive year for the church in recent memory. And 82% of pastors feel inadequate to lead during this time. There's no doubt, right, that these are tumultuous, disorienting, stressful times. And they are very much like the times to which Jeremiah preached. Judah was a divided culture. There were lots of different voices espousing different philosophies of life, different religions that were saying this is true, many false prophets calling people to various gods. There was anxiety about external threats, about countries, powerful countries that surrounded Judah. And to this time, Jeremiah preached the words that Leah read a few minutes ago. In this passage, Jeremiah uses two metaphors to illustrate possible ways to live life in extreme conditions, in times of extreme stress. Really, through the use of metaphor, Jeremiah is contrasting two orientations toward life, two types of people. And here's what's important: where they put their roots or what they build their lives upon. He says one way to live life in these extreme conditions is to be like a shrub in the desert, a parched land, an uninhabited salt land. This bush that he refers to is probably a dwarf juniper, those gnarly, twisted, stunted, kind of ugly bushes. And he contrasts this shrub, now listen to this contrast, to a tree planted by a river, which sends its roots down deep into the water. The tree is most likely a bay tree. And here's how he describes it. It is green and it is full of leaves. It is thriving even in the midst of harsh times. But the comparison that Jeremiah makes doesn't end there. He also reveals, and this is what's really important, the consequences of living these two different lives. The shrub doesn't see relief when it comes. Even when good comes, this person doesn't see it. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the Bible, says that this person is like a tumbleweed blowing around on the prairie, getting blown from here to there. This person lives a rootless and aimless life, and it lives where nothing grows. On the other hand, the tree shall not fear when heat comes. Its leaves remain green. And even during times of drought, of extreme heat, of tremendous pressure, its leaves remain green. And it doesn't just survive, it thrives in the midst of very difficult times. And listen to this. In a year of drought, this person is not anxious. Other translations say this person is not fearful, doesn't have a worry in the world, even when the drought comes. This is a stark contrast. Walter Brueggemann, in his commentary, writes this. He says, the metaphor of a withered shrub or watered tree is more intense and more compelling when it is remembered that the poem emerges in a culture that is characteristically desperate for water, a desert. The metaphor of water in such a context makes it clear that trust is a life and death matter. No tree or shrub can survive without water. There are no viable substitutes. Likewise, Jeremiah says, Judah will find no viable substitute for a genuine trust in Yahweh or God. Every alternative will lead to withering and death. Now, here's the main point. When you put, or what you put, your roots down into determines everything about life. In fact, God is saying through Jeremiah that it is a life and death situation. And what's important to note here is that we are all going to put our roots down into something. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of what. And what Jeremiah is saying is, if you put your roots down into something, anything other than God, if you put your trust, your full trust, into something other than God, you are going to be like a tumbleweed. You are going to be blown here and there, and eventually you are going to shrivel up and die. You are going to be anxious in a time when the heat comes. But if your roots are in God, if you trust God, if you put your full weight down upon God, then you will not be anxious in a time of extreme stress. Now, the roots here, obviously, in this metaphor are central. Roots anchor a plant. Roots give sustenance to a tree. So it all depends on your roots and where they go. Does this passage remind you of one of Jesus's parables? It reminds me a lot of Christ's parable at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Remember, two men go to build a house. One builds it on the sand and one builds it on the rock. Jesus is saying we are all building a house and we are all placing that house upon something. He says the storms are going to come. The Bible is very honest about that. Life is tough. Life is difficult. The storms are going to come. The winds are going to blow. The rain is going to beat against the houses. You know, it's funny, in this parable, there is too much water. But the consequences are the same. Destruction or standing firm. And Jesus says, if you build your house upon me, you will survive the storms of life. So the questions that both this parable and this passage from Jeremiah poses to us are these important questions. What are you putting your roots down into? And can whatever you are putting your roots into, are they going to help you thrive during times of extreme heat, of tremendous stress like we're experiencing right now? And if you are a person who is planted by the water, how deep are your roots? Brothers and sisters, these are great questions. In fact, I think these are the most important questions we can ask in life. And here's why. The shrub is of someone who does not know God. They do not experience the power, the grace, the love of God in their life. And the person who is planted by the water, who's the tree, has been planted there by God. I mean, think about it. A tree can't plant itself. There has to be something bigger outside of the tree itself to take that tree and to plant it by the river. So what this is describing is a person who has experienced rebirth, the grace of God. The person has the power of God, the living Christ, dwelling inside them. But here's the challenge, I think, about answering these questions. Look at verse 9. It says, the heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? One translation I like a lot says, it is deceitful, or the heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful. A puzzle no one can figure out. Friends, it's hard, isn't it, sometimes to know our own hearts. They are deceitful. We can think we're putting our roots down deep in God's love and grace, and yet we could place them somewhere else. It's tough to know what we actually are building our lives upon, where our trust is ultimately placed. Now, here is some good news about this time of disorientation, about the time we're going through right now. I know it's hard to find good news, but there is good news here. These times, these tough times, the trials of life, disorientation, you know what? They can reveal to us who or what, where we place our trust. Extreme heat can expose our heart. It can help us to discern our roots. I went through a very difficult time in my life, a time of extreme heat and stress. And it was interesting that these two passages, the one from Jeremiah and the parable of the two builders, really spoke to me during this time. And they, both of these passages have kind of become life verses for me. And you know what I realized during this time and from reading these passages? I realized that even though I had been a tree planted by the water, I had experienced rebirth in Christ, my roots were shallow. In other words, Christ has replanted me, but my roots were not really going down deep in his love. My trust was not fully in him. And God, in his grace during this difficult time, revealed my heart to me. He showed me that I was looking to other things to give me security and identity and purpose and hope instead of just trusting in God. It was a mixture of things, achievement and pure materialism and relationships and other things. And see, well, I think what this passage is saying is we can be Christians, we can be planted by the water and not really have deep roots, which are drawing sustenance, strength, and peace from the river. That's why these hard times can be good. They can reveal our hearts. They can show us what are our true foundations in life. And that's why my prayer for you and for me, for our church, for our country, is that this horrible time that we're going through will not be wasted, but rather God will use it to show us our roots, our foundations, and bring something new. I have hope. You know me, I'm an optimist. But I have hope that God's going to bring good out of this time in our own lives, in our church, in our country. But for this to happen, we need to take stock. We need to really examine our lives, our roots. I'm praying that during this time, we will be very intentional about deepening our roots, about putting our roots down deeper into God's love. You know, I want to read an email to you that I received yesterday from a woman in our church, a leader who's doing a lot of work. I emailed her to see how she was doing and thanked her for her all the work she was doing during this time. And I want to read you her email. I got permission to do this. She said, "Hi, Steve. Thanks for your email. I'm doing okay, doing fine. Work and family are fine, sheltering, being careful, etc. But tough times for sure, at every angle, it seems. Quite a lot. Very thankful for our church and you and the pastoral staff. Now, here's what I really want you to hear. I'm realizing it's easy to let the news, all those voices we're hearing, and everything that is going on, crowd out God's voice in my own personal devotion time. So I'm needing to be especially intentional in protecting that time with God these days." You know what she's doing? She's putting down her roots. She's building that foundation. In the midst of all this craziness, she is intentional about, more intentional than ever, about spending time alone with God, listening to God's still, small voice in the midst of the cacophony of voices that are shouting to us right now. In a time of drought, she is drawing water from the river of life. Friends, use this time to put down your roots. Allow God to reshape you. Allow God to form you. Remember our Christian formation vision of going inward, going outward, going together? Boy, let me encourage you during this time to remember those three things, the inward journey of those spiritual practices of putting our roots down, of prayer and scripture reading Maybe for you right now, lament is a way to deepen your roots. Maybe right now, all you can do is cry out to God, similar to what Carrie did this morning in the prayer confession. Then do that. Pour out your hearts before God, those inward practices, and then outward, serving the world, making a difference. And for you right now, you're at home, you can't do a lot, but you can pray. And pray is powerful. Pray for our country. Pray for our church. Young families, I know you're barely holding on. And as I preach about spending time alone with God, you are probably saying, oh, I would love to spend time alone with God. Well, try to find those moments. And maybe for you right now, your outward expression, your mission is teaching your children to see the image of God in all people, regardless of the color of their skin or their economic status or their education level. So inward, outward, together, and or inward, outward, and then together. And you can't do it alone. And today, seeing all your faces and experiencing that passing of peace, we need each other, don't we? If you're not in a small group, if you're not connecting with people, you got to do it. And you got to go through this with other people. You got to be intentional about reaching out. Now, that's my prayer for us, that we can put our roots down deep in God's love. You know, I want to close with a prayer of Paul's. He was praying for the church in Ephesus, and they too were in a very divided culture. They too were in a culture of many voices and of extreme stress. Let me encourage you with these words of Paul's prayer. In fact, if you want to, close your eyes and let me pray for you with Paul's prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, remember, we serve a God who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, a God who has seen plenty of pandemics and social upheavals. Remember, we have the power of the resurrection, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, living inside of us. We do not have to fear. We do not need to be anxious when the drought comes. Amen.